Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House touting events this week to mark 100 days of President Trump's second term. But his approval rating sits at 39%, with about 70% of people in the ABC News Washington Post poll saying they believe a recession is at least somewhat likely. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told ABC,
"The surveys may say that, but consumers are still spending. So I prefer to look at what Americans are doing rather than how they're answering pollsters."
Congress returns from recess today. Republicans say their goal is to pass a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a big issue in today's national election across Canada as Vancouver mourns the 11 people killed when a vehicle plowed through a Filipino cultural festival Saturday. One person died, 12 were hurt when a boat crashed into a ferry off Clearwater, Florida last night. And Spain and Portugal racked by power outages right now, millions in the dark. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Organizers thought 250,000 people would visit the NFL draft in Green Bay this year. They were wrong. The official count over the three-day period was 600,000 attendees. John Baker, head of global events for the NFL.
"I got it completely wrong. I thought 250,000 people would come to this draft over 3 days, and you have completely blown that number out the doors."
The NFL confirmed attendance Thursday was 205,000 people, Friday 175,000, and on Saturday 220,000 people attended the NFL draft. Green Bay is the smallest market to host an NFL team, but it tied the number seen in Nashville in 2019. Detroit set the record last year when 775,000 people attended the 3 days of draft activities. And for those keeping track, there was only one arrest and 8 ejections over the entire 3-day period. Heads up for severe weather tonight. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
As severe weather moves into the state, hail and high winds are expected. Be sure to be inside and stay away from windows. This afternoon, temperatures are going to spike warm. I mean, into the 80s in spots south. And as the sun shines through, it's adding fuel for more severe storms tonight. Feeling muggy, too. If any isolated storm spins up out ahead of a strong line of storms pushing through the state this evening, it could pack an intense tornado. And the risk for twisters remains in that line tonight, too. And those would be hiding in heavy rain and moving in fast. Widespread damage is possible, so be sure to have a plan in place. Gather emergency items and put them in your shelter spot. And make sure that you have a way to be warned if you're under a tornado warning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard going in for an MRI today. The Associated Press reporting there's concern he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers last night in Milwaukee. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They're going to do an image. Obviously, his lower leg. And just being honest, it's not very promising.
Game 5 tomorrow night in Indy. The Pacers now lead 3-1. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off after beating the Cards in St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. NFL, the Packers picked up 8 players during the draft in Green Bay over the weekend. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if he thought about trading for some more.
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year, and we really didn't accomplish that. But it was really pretty quiet today as far as that went. We had 8 picks, feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about too.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight-line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Civic Media.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmitz.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Good-looking morning right now in Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh. We had Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist, on earlier talking about the potential. It's very tornadic-looking throughout much... Thank you.
The password is...
Tormatic.
Tornadic.
Something. Yeah, it's tornado-y. But Brittany, we're looking at the weather thing you put up there, Todd. It's definitely moving northeast. There's no question about that. And there are some big, big red patches heading that way, northeast Wisconsin, like far northeast Wisconsin. But you and that looks kind of ugly with all the red. But you said there's another line coming from that La Crosse area right behind it, huh?
Absolutely. And that's going to die out a little bit. But then as we get into the remainder of the afternoon, that will start as the heat.
Right.
You know, that heat is one of the issues. So we'll see some more storms rolling in through
like,
later on this afternoon
like
into tonight.
6 o'clock
yeah.
even.
Yep.
Tonight. Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know what? If you're a lacrosse player, you'll still be out there because Rich Thompson grows them tough. Rich Thompson is here from Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference, also the head coach at Pulaski, longtime coach and player. And Rich, we were just talking about, you know, 20 years ago or something, there basically was no lacrosse in Northeast Wisconsin. And you guys, I'll tell you the very first thing I remember doing a story and they brought it in out at, I think it was Menominee. On the reservation, and they brought in a group from, I want to say, North Dakota or someplace like that to start. They're like, hey, this is our sport. This is, you want to talk about the true, what's the American pastime? It's lacrosse, because this was the first sport in what became America. And they were trying to get the heritage for the
right.
for the young.
Sure.
And it not only took hold there, all these other schools jumped in. It's like, this is cool. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Rich Thompson, congratulations, what you helped create.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having us.
You know, tell us about, I mean, starting sports, we're so ingrained in baseball, basketball, football, right. I mean, swimming, just to get something going. And, you know, I don't know how many, I know there's 10 people on a team, but like how'd you get the thing off the ground?
Absolutely. So I was, I helped found the Kimberly program, and then I also founded the Pulaski program. It takes a lot to get that started. Like for Pulaski, we did learn to play clinics for 2 years. So we would sit up, right. we'd bring goals to one of the local elementary schools.
And just to back up, you could be a basketball coach at one of these schools, and every one of these kids has played basketball in their driveways or whatever for, 10 years.
Right.
With your sport, it was from ground zero, right?
It was. Yep. Yeah. You were explaining just the basics to them. And actually, I find that basketball is the easiest sport to compare it to. I know a lot of people will talk about hockey or football and stuff because people are wearing pads. But if you think about it, basketball, you have a backboard in your back. Same thing in lacrosse. We have a goal in the back, right? So a lot of the offensive concepts, pick and roll, screens, things like that, come right out of basketball. I use as a coach, a lot of my terminology and stuff is very similar to what you'd find in basketball.
What I think is cool about the two markets you picked, Kimberly and Pulaski, they like their sports too.
They do. They're very passionate about their sports.
Parental support to try that. But I wanted to go back to the challenge of getting that started because it wasn't like they saw it a lot on TV and like, oh man, no, I like to play that. So it's like,
right. Yeah.
So you went to the grade schools, what, fifth, sixth grade? Or
Yeah. So the concept was is to get it started at the U10, 12, U14 level, mm-hmm. and then those kids will build and that stuff, and then they'll matriculate up to high school. And that's literally what we did. We started it at the youth level and then build it. Then we got a high school program at Kimberly. And then when I moved up to Pulaski, but then we started building it at the Pulaski level. Now we have a high school team. We're in the second year of our varsity program.
You know what I like, though, as far as what you did? Everybody started out exactly even.
Right.
It's not like some kid grew up with that hoop in his on his driveway and somebody else didn't. It's like you're all ground zero. I think that's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. That first class too, there's a lot like our first class here now is going to be graduating this year. And they really have a lot of cohesion. They're a strong group together because they all went through this together. They all learned the sport together. They really became passionate about the sport together. And it's something that really, gets them going and stuff. So it's really kind of a cool thing to see.
What would that overlap? I mean, we always worry about kids, there's so many options right now. Right. I mean, back when we were kids, of course, we're a lot older than you, but...
We had Little League. Nothing else.
So what we do is a lot of times we'll have practices on different days than baseball to give kids the opportunity to try both sports. Okay. And I'll be honest, my son played baseball for a couple of years while he also did lacrosse. And no offense, baseball, but it can be a little boring sometimes. It's swing and a miss, bunt, ball and, foul ball and this kind of stuff. With lacrosse, you are constantly up and down the field. It's just like hockey where the ball is either going towards one goal or to the other goal. You have body checking. You have scoring goals. Everybody likes to score the goal. I reffed a game yesterday, and we had a brand new player. He scored a last second goal. His team mobbed him after the game. Right. I thought, how great is that? This is his first season, and his name is Grayson. He got mobbed after the game because he scored the last second goal for his team.
All right, Grayson. See, now
that's right.
The hell with baseball for him.
That's right. Come play lacrosse. Exactly.
And I would assume, I'm just saying, because obviously basketball, they look for the height. Football, they look for the bigger, whatever. I would think lacrosse, anybody physically dimension-wise could play, correct?
Exactly, yes. So that's one of the great parts about lacrosse is that if you're a large player, maybe you're not the fastest player, we have defensive spots you can play, right? Where it's physical, that's it's right in front of the crease. That's where you're going to do some of the body checking and stuff. That's where you're going to usher people out to the islands and things like that. If you're really fast, then you might be one of those middies or attack guys that can take the ball up the field, be looking to feed the crease and be looking to feed goals and things like that. So both bigger sizes, smaller sizes, fast and slow, we have a spot for you on the lacrosse field.
I think that is so cool. And, I got to be honest with you. Once in a while, we flip around ESPN, and it'll always be like John Hopkins, against Naval Academy or some of these Eastern kind of schools. But it is mind-boggling how they just flick that thing, and that thing will travel from here to that downtown Green Bay sign, and it'll hit that guy right in the wicket.
Yep.
I mean, he'll hit it, perfectly. The control they have on those things is fun to watch.
Yeah, you want to get the ball to the stick, as we say in lacrosse. That's literally hundreds of hours of sitting on a wall, just bouncing the ball, practicing your stick skills. And the more you can do that, you can pass it a lot quicker than you can run it. So the more they do that, the better they get at it.
I think I would have been a good lacrosse player if I started. Where would you have played me?
Probably at midi to start. Water. And then we move you up to attack to score some goals.
Get that water over here.
Hey, Todd.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you turn your mic off? Your laugh is a little too deep that I'm comfortable with.
So you started this as just a club sport. So the parents actually...
Yes.
Paid for it. I mean,
a lot of car washes.
Yes, yeah. So we were bringing everything to the games. We would bring the tables. We would bring the cones, the goals. I mean, you felt like you were a mover bringing all this stuff every single time. But now the WIA has taken on lacrosse. So the last 2 years, it's been a WIA sport. We have our state championships down in Sun Prairie at their beautiful facility down there. And it was a phenomenal experience last year to have the first WIA state championship.
We're at Rich Thompson Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference.
So when you say it's a WIA sport, all the schools, or is it not? Option now? How does what does that mean to East West?
Yep. So our Bay Valley, we pretty much take anything above Fond du Lac is what we say. The schools that are in it currently, Nina has a team, Appleton, Kimberly, up in the Green Bay area, De Pere, Notre Dame, Bayport, Pulaski, Oneida, and then in central Wisconsin, Wausau has a team. Stevens Point used to have a youth team, and they still do have a youth team. And now they're going to add it next year. So we hope Stevens Point will... So essentially anything above the Sheboygan Fond du Lac line in northeast Wisconsin, we say is part of the Bay Valley.
And the field, the school have to make a big investment, or where do you play?
We play on our football field.
All right.
Yep, at Saputo Stadium in Pulaski there. So I have a game tomorrow night against Nina at Saputo Stadium.
And they don't get all anxious when you're on their field?
Not anymore. and I will say this, Jeff. Like in my era, you know, back in high school, if you were even caught, like, walking down the football field or running on it, or, you know, the groundskeeper like, get off! Well,
the marching band. I mean,
it's like, right. Yes, exactly right. But these fields now, I mean, I remember being at Kimberly maybe this past, and I got there real early, and they had like two freshman football games before the varsity game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unheard of.
Right.
10 years, 20 years. But these turfs down these fields are incredible, aren't they?
They are. They're fantastic fields. I think every team in our league plays on their football field. So, and it's really a great experience. As to your point, the only time we worry is like if track is just finishing up a practice or something and somebody takes a shot, we want to make sure that we don't hit anybody with a ball.
Is it dangerous at all?
I mean, let's put it this way. You do have swinging, you have balls that are flying, right? On the field, you're wearing helmets and shoulder pads and things
and
like that.
And a face mask.
Yes, and a face mask. Yep, okay. Yep. In the boys' game. In the girls' game, it's different. They don't wear helmets and that kind of stuff. So in the boys' game, though, we're wearing helmets and shoulder pads.
How fast does that ball go if somebody can really flick it?
When you're up at the Premier Lacrosse League is like the NFL for lacrosse, and they get up to like 110 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's like the fastest pitch in maybe faster than any pitch in baseball history.
Because you think those sticks, I mean, they can get a lot of, you know, wick going with that, you know.
Wow. I did not know
that. Me either. That's
yeah. And think if you're a defenseman there taking one of those shots, protecting your goalie, that's a lot of shot. That's a lot of power to take in that. They wear chest protectors inside their shoulder pads to protect them to their chest.
Bulletproof vest. That's fast.
Wow. Officer Craig, I'm going to play some lacrosse for
you. Wow. You know, we have Mark Hewson on here once in a while. He works Bell for Bell and Sports, the youth thing. Do you have people on the sidelines?
Athletic trainers. So our trainer for Pulaski is there on the sidelines for all of our games and all the other schools as well. Yep.
So what do you do to recruit kids now as far as like, because you need them playing before high school now to help prep, right? Yep. So how is that going, the youth leagues or youth clinics or anything?
Exactly. So those same schools that we talked about all have youth programs. Increasingly now they have U8 programs, U10, U12, U14, and that helps them get those stick skills we talked about, helps them learn those skills, learn the rules of the game. It's like you talked about, it's a brand new sport, so there's a lot of rules to learn. We do the trial lacrosse clinics in Pulaski the last 3 years. We've done National Celebrate Lacrosse Week, where we did a big try lacrosse clinic. We invited all the local schools, kids to come and give the sport a try. And then we get them into the youth program, and that feeds up to our high school programs. Mm-hmm. We want WIA lacrosse to be very successful. We want to see, the Fond du Lacs, the Oshkosh, the Hortonvilles, the Manitowoc, Sheboygans, the Ashwaubenons all add lacrosse. So we want to build that as strong as possible and make WIA lacrosse as strong as possible.
I got to say one thing, though. That's pretty cool. Just knowing about your background and everything, Rich, obviously you're a high school athlete in sport, what, six different sports, whatever, and collegiate and everything. And even still now, you kind of tell your, I don't know what you do for a real living or if this is your real living, but talk about how many nights and days and weekends you spend trying to help high school athletes.
I'm the high school coach for Pulaski, so every night we have practice, except for one a week. The WIA mandates we take 1 week off. On that day, I usually officiate youth lacrosse. Yesterday was their night off. I officiated youth lacrosse, so it's pretty much every single night in the springtime. But you want to know something, though? Every year, it comes December, January, February, I can't wait to get out on a field again and to play and watch lacrosse. So to me, I do, it's pretty much, hey, family, I'll see you again at the end of the season in June.
Okay, what do you do between August and November?
I'm an official for football, like, and I also am an official for WIA wrestling as well.
Your family ever say, Dad, do we do something?
They knew I was an athlete when
yeah, pretty understanding wife.
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, you've got a great disposition. You're very happy. You love what you do.
I do.
But is that it? I mean, John kind of asked, do you have like a real job, or is this what you do?
I'm a safety manager.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
All right, cool.
Stick around. I want to talk a little bit more about this. I don't know if enough people know about it.
And about how they get, there's people who would like to do what you're doing. So let's talk about your career path a little bit. Absolutely. We'll get back.
I'm going to ask you one quick question. I don't want to belabor it because it would take up the whole next segment. Do you know of any cricket fields in Green Bay?
Of course.
Yes or no?
I don't.
Thank you. Rich Thompson, Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference. Never asked who.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
There's a group that was really loyal to us that I will never forget, the Hmongs. When people used to complain about them coming to America, I would tell them, you don't understand. They fought for us and we abandoned them. I have many, many Hmong friends to this day. I always had to laugh when I thought about my dad's advice as to why joining the Navy would be better than the Army. There was a time halfway through my tour that I wrote him a letter. Dear Dad, it's been raining for 6 weeks. I'm cold and I'm wet all the time. I'm eating sea rations from 1945. Where the hell is the warm bed and three hot meals you said I'd have if I joined the Navy? Love, your waterlogged son. Jim Barlament, Marine Corpsman, United States Navy.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at TheD8Dispensary.com.
Treat yourself to one of our award-winning entrees at the Machine Shed. Come get your hands around one of our famous pork tenderloins, our most popular sandwich, served either deep-fried golden brown or unbreaded and grilled. Or try our roasted, stuffed Iowa chop that is stuffed with a warm apple raisin dressing and glazed with an apple whiskey sauce. Trust me, you won't regret it. This is Jeff Grunder, and we can't wait to have you over for dinner at the Machine Shed.
The Machine Shed, Fox River Drive, Appleton.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 and what's happening in New Wisco.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back. Man, we've had a great lineup today here in Mind on the Mayor. Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, talked about some potentially really, really serious weather coming in later today. Mark Daniels, legendary sportscaster, giving his opinion on the draft. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. Always a blast having her in. And Rich Thompson joining us right now. Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference, also the head coach at Pulaski. And Jim had a couple of good questions for you right before the break.
You're one of the happier guys I've met. I mean, that's what you want to do.
That's right. And I very much enjoy it.
That's great. You're just talking about your kids during the break, and they all seem very happy. And
you want to know something? I enjoy spending the Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday on a lacrosse field. To me, there's nothing better to do. I would not want to sit on a couch and watch TV. I'd rather sit out there on a lacrosse field and watch lacrosse.
That's so cool.
That is. I think there may be some kids in college that would like your career. Tell me how you got into the whole coaching side of it.
Absolutely. So my daughter, when she was young, we got her into lacrosse. At the time, I was in grad school, so we got her into Sun Prairie's program. We moved back up here to the Valley. I'm from Neenah originally, and we were coming up here for birthdays and, you know, all these parties and stuff for our family and stuff, and finally said, okay, time to move back to the Fox Valley area. And so we moved up here. I right away filed paperwork with the state to get Kimberly lacrosse program going. A couple days later, she came out on the bus and said, hey, there's this other family that's trying to get something going. So we combined efforts together. We got the Kimberly program going. And then I moved up to Pulaski. And then I said, hey, we need to found that in Pulaski. And so now that was back in 2018. And so we've had 7 years now of Pulaski lacrosse.
I bet you look now, it's getting easier, right? I mean, there's momentum.
Yes. Now we have at the time, you know, like you said, we were teaching everything, like the rules, the this and that and stuff. Now we have an established program where we have U10, U12, U14. We have a high school program. We have a high school girls program as well. So, I mean, it's really blossomed into far more than I could have ever imagined and faster than I could have ever imagined.
And you're building up your own coaching base with these kids.
Exactly.
With yourself, it's like, you know, how many other people would know the rules? And now you got kids that have gone through the sport that could probably help out, right?
Yeah, that's great from both a coaching standpoint. They can help coach and they can also help ref as well, because there's always a ref shortage. We have two of my current players right now are reffing youth, and then we have several others that are interested in it. And that, to me, really helps grow the game. It helps build the next level, and it also helps their development. I tell them all the time, if you know what an official is looking for, like, hey, on this cross check here, if you bend your wrist to this point, that ref is going to be calling that, or excuse me, on a slash, that tells them, hey, I know, and when I play a game, I can't be, you know, bending my wrist to that point to get that slash call.
Yeah, I would think it would be a little difficult to get refs because they haven't played it a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
A little easier basketball. We talk about ref shortages often here. Yes. And So, all right. So you have opportunities for kids.
Brian Mills is always on me to come
to ref. Yeah. So Brian Mills, we talked about me being a football ref. Brian Mills is my my head of my crew. So I'm his back judge on his crew.
All right.
Yeah.
Get him
on your team. He knows a lot of people. Yes. So.
Have I done any of your games? Have I broadcast any of the games you were reffing? Do you know?
Not that I'm aware of yet.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I can tell there's some crews that don't like me sometimes. I might question something.
For officials, we definitely always need officials. There's two opportunities for it. One, if you're a high school player, you have opportunities to become an official for the youth. If you're an adult, we often will get parents that'll say, you know what? I'm going to be coming to these games. I might as well be an official. And they'll sometimes learn the sport and become an official as well. So we have two opportunities, one for youth and one for adults.
All right. And I just want to wrap up pretty soon, but the pitch to your pitch, the attraction to your thing is really anybody can play.
Exactly.
You're kind of saying that. We talked about football, basketball, something. Well, but the other thing, it's a little faster pace than like, golf needs the shot clock like nothing else. Oh my God, is that boring? But, baseball can be a little bit slow too, and your game is
somebody's always moving.
That's right. So I always say that there's never a bored kid in a lacrosse game. They're up and down the field constantly, up and down. The ball's going one direction or to the other direction. You're scoring goals. You're making, there's lots of contact in front of the goal. It's not the contact that you'd see in football. You're not de-cleating anybody, but there is contact. You can check below the neck and above the waist and to the side. So you're, there's lots of checking going on and stuff. So there's physical contact up and down, back and forth, scoring goals. It's really just a high pace, fast game. And then boom, you come off the field for a few minutes, get a drink, and then boom, you're back out there. There's never a bored kid in a lacrosse game.
I just got to say, I would imagine this type of thing, like I can shoot around in basketball on a weekend or by yourself, but you could probably go to like the schoolyard maybe just practice hitting against the school wall or something.
The number one thing a lacrosse coach tells their players is wall ball. Get a brick wall and just practice that wall ball. Practice your technique. Get those, 100.
Good piece of chalk, draw the square. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And you bring it back to, we say bring it back to the box, which is right next to their head. Just practice that. Do that. We say I do it 100 with each arm every single day, and you'll become a really good lacrosse player.
This is cool, Rich.
This is.
I love how many kids you've given the opportunity to play a sport. They might not be playing sports in the spring if it wasn't for you. That's awesome.
And it's a good opportunity. Like a lot of times, maybe baseball didn't work out for them. Maybe they're not the best at hitting the ball or something. This gives them another opportunity in spring to play a sport.
And you've played how many different sports in high school?
I played six.
Six different sports.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to congratulate you. You are the third best athlete in our studio right now.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing this. I mean, you could have not done this. I mean, this is a lot of
your
volunteer
passions
stuff.
With this. You're exactly the type of people
that
keep high school sports going. I'm not blowing smoke.
Yeah,
you got to have people like you where it's the passion. It's not a job.
So when's your next game that we can come to, or how do we kind of follow you, your team?
Yep. We play Nina tomorrow night at Saputo Stadium at Pulaski High School, 7 p.m.
Right. Nice.
Okay.
How much did you bench in high school?
I was up to like 250.
How many times?
If you added up all the weight I ever lifted in high school, it might be 250, but probably not. It's a lot of 20-pound curls.
It's been a long time, though, since I did that.
Yeah. That's awesome, Rich.
You know what? You should have been in the arm wrestling competition this weekend.
Oh, hey.
It was an Oshkosh.
Nice. Man, you would have been perfect for that.
A lot of cool stuff going on.
My arm is still sore from it, so otherwise I'd take you on.
Okay.
Rich Thompson, whatever we can do to promote your great sport of high school lacrosse, you let us know.
I will.
I'm serious, man. I love your enthusiasm. Yeah. I love what you do for high school kids across the board. Need people like you, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
By the way, when you're in high school on a Friday nights, high school football, what channel would you watch to get all the highlights?
The Mino Show.
Thank you. Todd?
Yes, sir.
Any comment? Thank you. Grand Oshkosh coming up.
Somebody's babe.
a new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson have announced the renewal of the bipartisan Wisconsin Federal Nominating Commission. The Bipartisan Commission was established to make recommendations for open U.S. attorney and federal judicial positions in the state. The goal is to ensure that officers of the judicial system are being selected for their dedication to applying the law impartially rather than altering the law to support policy or ideological agendas in the justice system. A number of U.S. attorney positions are open in Wisconsin. Need to get away? It's only $37 to fly from Milwaukee to the Motor City. Stuart J. Waddle says more about a price point that makes selling train travel tricky.
Spirit Airlines is launching a new nonstop route from Mitchell to Detroit starting June 13th. Flights will operate twice a week. Starting fares for the new service will be as low as $37 each way. Spirit's been growing their Milwaukee network, which has added flights to L.A., Baltimore, and Nashville.
An 18-year-old DePere man was killed when the motorcycle he was driving crashed into a sedan late Saturday night in Ashwaubenon. The 84-year-old Ashwaubenon woman driving the sedan was taken to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. The accident remains under investigation. Officials do not know if speed or alcohol were causes of the crash. Just after midnight Sunday morning, Waupaca County Sheriff's deputies were called to a UTV crash in the township of Harrison. When they arrived, they found a man outside of the UTV. Life-saving measures were performed, but the man did not make it. No other details are available. That crash remains under investigation. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore says aging is a gift and very different from being old. The Hollywood Reporter says the substance actress says she prefers her current age to being 21, saying as good as 21 may sound, it was torture. The Oscar-nominated actress praised Oscar winner Anora's Mikey Madison, saying she gave a phenomenal performance. She also says that she has much more work to do and would love to be back on the Oscar stage. Also from the Hollywood Reporter, and speaking of substance, Margaret Qualley has a new comedy that she's just learned will hit theaters this summer. Focus Features' Honey Don't also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans and is directed by Ethan Coen. Qualley plays a small-town private investigator who looks into the deaths at a church. Honey Don't will hit theaters August 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight-line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. If you missed part of the show or want to share it with a friend, catch every episode of Mino and the Mayor on your schedule. Listen now at civicmedia.us or find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's easy to take Mino and the Mayor wherever you go. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course worldwide on the Civic Media app. Also AM 1100 and 1590. Thank you. I'm proud of myself.
I didn't look, so I had to give him a bell.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Hey, give Rich Thompson a bell from Bay Valley Lacrosse Conference. Man, the enthusiasm that guy has for helping youth sports is incredible, isn't it?
He lives it. He is not.
He is
that's
amazing.
A labor of love, man. He just loves it.
I'll tell you another labor of love. Everybody that either works at, for, or performs at the Grand Oshkosh, because that is one of the coolest venues in the world. Todd, introduce our very special guest with a show coming up that is incredible.
Hey, Joe Furlow, how are you doing?
What do I do to get a bell?
I'll get you a bell.
It's going to take a while. We'll see how this goes.
Joe, you're on stage. You know how you don't get a bell from Todd? You know how you don't get a bell from Todd? Ask him for one.
Okay.
There you go.
He won't do it. Yeah.
Joe, this is, you have such unique shows there. I mean, we talk about you often, but this is something very different, right? Tell us about this.
I'm so glad that Neil has joined us because...
Hi, Neil.
I'm sure they hear this all the time, the folks at the Fourth Wall Ensemble. I'm so excited about the show. The video is great. And then you get out there and you want to try to describe it, and you're like, I love the, you know, the idea. It's kind of an old school variety show. People my generation and up will remember these kind of acts on the Ed Sullivan show.
I was just going to say that this sounds it sounds like an episode of the Ed Sullivan show, because you've got part modern dance, part circus, acrobatics, music, theater. I mean, it's...
The only thing missing are the spinning plates, man.
Yeah.
And Tojo Jiju.
The only thing missing, Neil.
Tojo Jiju.
Neil, tell me how the order is chosen, though, by the audience. You say that? The audience is blue participation.
Good morning, Neil.
Tell us about how this all works.
So hi there. I am Neil Parsons, and I am the bass trombonist with the Fourth Wall Ensemble. We're a trio of musicians who are also actors, dancers, acrobats, circus artists, daredevils of all sorts.
May I try Neil, I just have to say one thing, though. When you talk about the instruments, okay, that's a unique group of instruments all together in your picture. Could you describe how you blend those three instruments together?
Yeah. So when we formed our group back in 2010, there was no music written for flute, bass, trombone, and percussion. So everything that we have performed in our repertoire in the last 15 years has been created or co-created by us and our collaborative composers, but we do a lot of arranging ourselves.
You threw an accordion there.
You can't do a Wisconsin interview, Neil, without talking about the accordion, man.
We've got to have the accordion. Yeah. Greg is a percussionist by training, but an accordionist by experience. It was an instrument that he just wanted to pick up and also found that he could move around while playing it better than he could if he was behind the vibraphone or a drum set. So the accordion makes Greg, our percussionist, much more mobile so we can all dance together.
That's awesome.
I would encourage people if they're on the fence for this. Obviously, we're on the radio, right? Go to the website, look up the Fourth Wall. There's a video, and just check out the video, and you get an idea of what's going on. And I want to shout out Neil and Fourth Wall not only for the show, which is called Fruit Flies Like a Banana, and on Friday night. That's Friday, right? May 2nd?
Yes.
Friday night. But also the day before, they're doing two school shows.
Okay.
And it's and it's all about like the science behind music, how music works.
Interesting.
So they'll spend time with students too. So there's like a slew of people that I want to thank in 30 seconds or less. Be ready with your bell. it's part of the Student Discovery Series, which is sponsored by the Amcor Foundation. It's part of the Outreach series, which is sponsored by Community First Credit Union. Got a little support from Wisconsin Public Service Foundation. And all of that comes together so that we can have a couple days of busing kids into the theater, which is always great fun. And then this great public show. And don't let me go at the end of this without talking about the ticket special, the super secret ticket special.
Right.
Yeah. So
Neil, I just got to say, as a guy who was worked with the community, for you to come and engage those students is so valuable. Yeah. I mean, for so many reasons, not just to entertain them and teach them something about, you know, the fourth wall or about the arts. It can open up a world to them that they would have never, ever seen had you not been here.
And that is one of the great honors that we have as performing artists, knowing that for many children that we perform for, we might be the first live performance that they see. And we are here to share not just a live performance, but introduce them to music, introduce them to dance, introduce them to, you know, acrobatics and theater. We're kind of giving them a smorgasbord of experiences, but also we're really trying to make it personal. We're really trying to make it something that cannot be replaced by smartphones or streaming media.
Right.
This is a live performance. And to get back to the question of how does it work with the audience choosing the show order? Well, yeah, we have decided that the audience is going to choose the show order. They are going to be directly involved in the show. The show cannot proceed without their participation. And we have a few different mechanisms for making that happen. Sometimes it's pick a card, any card. We've got a deck of cards with the different titles of pieces on that. And then we also have some other maybe secret ways of having the audience
None of you guys on stage ever showboat or anything. I'm sure.
I'm wondering what our show would be like, Jim and John, if our audience chose the topics we talked about.
Never mind. I would like to know what your show would be like.
Do you interrupt each other and talk over each other? Yeah, that's wow. That's great.
Neil, I'm going to jump in with a question because I'm curious.
Great.
So you guys are really great musicians.
Thank you.
Who's the first one that says, "Gee, if I get on a hoverboard or a skateboard, this would be even better"? I mean, who comes up with the idea that we're going to suddenly do that? Or if I climb on you while you're playing and I keep playing and we build this little pyramid, who's the first one of you that came up with that craziness?
By this point, it's really hard to extract the origin story of most of our pieces. When it comes to what we do and how we do it, we are a collaboratively devised ensemble where, you know, the best idea wins by the end of the day. And it's not an efficient process of us all jumping in and saying, like, how about this? How about this? So it can be hard to figure out, like, oh, whose idea was it originally? Because by the time all three of us have really put it through the ringer of ideas and brainstorming and testing, like, we do a lot of R&D of, like, well, can we do it this way or no, can we do it that way? By the time it makes its way to stage, it's just this collective beast that we have kind of brought into the world through our collective conjuring.
Who's your audience?
Because
it's interesting, because I didn't want to put it in the family series because it kind of labels it as a kid's show. It's not. It's a kid, but it is. And it's not a date night show. But you guys are smirking because I'm doing your interview for you, aren't you?
Go ahead. Hey, these are questions I want. I'd love to hear an answer to. Yeah, it's good stuff.
You know, it's kind of a date night show, or it's a family show, or it's a bring your kids show, or it's a you don't need kids show, right?
It's an interesting thing that the current arts industry is so focused on who's your market, who is your show for. And when it comes down to it, in my humble view, art is for all. And yes, there are certain artworks and certain artistic things that are guided to a certain audience, but we really believe that music and dance and theater and acrobatics and the kind of stuff we do really is for all ages. And that's why we have a show on the main stage on Friday night that is literally for all ages. And what we love after a show like that is when the children and the parents and the grandparents all come to talk to us afterwards, say that they love it. And you you feel like each one of them senses that we made it for them.
That's awesome.
Should you look at it as almost like
necessarily say that, like, oh, it's for you, but you can also come. No, we want everyone there. There is something for everyone and a little bit of everything. And that really does harken back to the vaudeville stage, the vaudeville theater model that the variety show of the Ed Sullivan Show, the variety show of, you know, YouTube, just like see what comes next, never knowing what's going to come next and knowing that you're going to see something unusual and unexpected. That's what we're all about. We want everyone to just kind of like come for the ride and stick around for stuff they had no idea was possible.
Is it a little bit like Second City improv with instruments?
I suppose you could say that, although there is very little of the repertoire of our show that is improvised.
Okay.
All of the different acts have been kind of painstakingly prepared and rehearsed over the course of years. But the flow of the show is this impromptu kind of character where we don't know what's going to come next until it happens. But once we know the next piece in the program, we know what to do, but it's also kind of a surprise to us how the roller coaster ride of the evening is going to flow. So that really keeps us on our toes. And we feel like we're kind of in the same boat with our audience, that we're just like, we're along for the ride. Let's go for it.
I think it sounds awesome.
It sure does. I want to get back to the audience participation, because I think, look, shows, live theater is nothing like it. I mean, I love it more than sports, anything else. Tell me about how do they choose? Like, are you questions or is the applause, you say, from when you're out there trying to showboat to get them to take your act first, or how does that all work?
Wait a minute. I want to, before you answer, I want to make sure that in the studio, Todd got a soundbite of the former mayor of Green Bay saying he loved live entertainment more than sports.
I'm not running for anything anymore. I can say whatever I want now.
So. Having said that, I'm so sorry, Neil. I just want to make sure I have that for later. You go ahead and answer his question.
Yeah, well, we do actually have a deck of cards. And for each card, that's a piece in the program. And we run out into the audience, say, pick a card, any card. Anyone who's got their raised hand ready to like choose what comes next, they pick a card, read the title off the back, and that's the next thing we do. And then in the second act of our show, we have a different mechanism that's all about different colors. So we have a set of warm-ish colors, some cool colors, and some patterns. And they're sort of oversized paint chips that, again, each of those is connected to a piece of repertoire in the show. And again, the audience gets to just like shout it out, decide what's going to happen next. And then we serve up that next course.
60 seconds, wow. Joe, give us a plug. Where do they get tickets? How much are tickets?
Tickets are available at the Grand's website, thegrandoshkosh.org. And keep this in mind, show's called Fruit Flies Like a Banana. We have a special. It's called, you got to put in the code, Go Bananas. All caps, Go Bananas, plural. And your ticket price will magically drop to $20 a ticket.
Nice.
Wow.
So it's Friday, 7 o'clock. Nothing like live entertainment where you don't know what's coming next. Neil, thank you for joining and helping to talk about the show.
Joe, thanks for setting this all up. Yeah. Neil, this sounds spectacular.
Yeah, Neil, this is great.
Come see the show.
We will, my brother. Thank you. Mike Clemens, when we come back.
Like I don't care, baby. By the way,
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Fans, here is the Quick Trip to the Ballpark ticket offer. Spend $200 at participating Quick Trip locations and get a free Terrace Reserve ticket to a 2025 Milwaukee Brewers home game. Check brewers.com/quicktrip for more details. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Ready. The draft is done, and our top craft pick votes are in. We narrowed it down to 10 top contenders, and after hundreds of votes, the winners have been crowned. Congratulations to Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, the winner of the Mino and the Mayor Top Craft Pick promotion. Plus, just for voting, Rhonda Schrader walks away with $250 in gift cards from our participating sponsors. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Picks. Drafting Wisconsin's finest, one sip at a time.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You don't waste your time.
Wrapping up a nice Monday morning, but once again, look out for later on this afternoon. Keep your eye on your weather app. Got a nice text here, Todd. Ring yourself up today. You are killing it with your music selections, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy. Oh, yeah. I'd never get a bell.
Oh, man. That's...
What? If you deserved one, we'd give you one.
Thanks.
Do we have Mike here?
Yeah, he's on.
Mike Clemens, good morning.
Hi, Mino. Hi, Mayor. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you get a chance to sleep in till like 5 o'clock today?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the damper on the weekend was the Bucks game last night. We're waiting to hear word on Damian Lillard, who went down in the first quarter. You remember, you know, he missed about 14 games with the blood clot in his right calf muscle, in his right leg. And last night, it looked to me, Mino, that he was coming down half court. The Lakers, they were in transition. It looked like his right foot slipped, and then when he tried to recover, his left foot made an ugly turn. And we're talking about an MRI today for a possible torn Achilles.
You couldn't ask for a worse game than last night. You know, got 3-1. Our man
at home.
Halliburton was throwing him in from 35 feet and giving it back to Bobby Portis and whatever.
The kid from Oshkosh, yeah. And they're down 3-1, yeah.
That was an ugly way to, I'd hate to say it, to end the season, Mike. You know what I mean?
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
But how about that draft, man?
I love it.
What a party that was, right?
I love it. What did you think?
Well, you know, from a league standpoint, even though this thing drew 600,000 people, and even with that cold, rainy day we had on Friday, it was second only to Nashville. And when the NFL draft went to Nashville, it went to a new level because Nashville was such a great backdrop with all the bars and the country music scene. Little Green Bay came right at number 2 of all-time draws for the NFL draft. You think about this. I mean, in 3 days, Green Bay drew more people, or as many people, that come through 10, 11-day runs for Summerfest or the Wisconsin State Fair. And on top of that, the thing increased the ratings on TV, and this is what, you know, the NFL wants, because it's what their sponsors want. The ratings went up 11%. That's a huge gain in 1 year.
Yeah, that's good.
Fantastic.
I see that. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I just went as a spectator. I didn't see a single problem other than, I'm going to say this, we talked a little bit about it. There should have been an entrance or an exit at the east side of the stadium. I thought it was just too, expect for some older people that wanted to go to the stadium views and the Burkles and different places there, and then to have to walk all the way back. I don't know why they didn't have two entrances and exits just to make things flow better.
You could have had another secure entrance there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and that's something maybe they'll think about when they move it to Pittsburgh next year. But the Packers took eight players over the weekend. Of course, they started out the first two nights with offensive players. They got this Savion Williams, a wide receiver out of TCU. You know, some of the scouts say reminds you a little bit of Cordell Patterson. He's versatile. He's 6'4". He's pretty fast, but he's a gadget guy. He played quarterback in high school, so they can use him all over the field. He threw a touchdown pass in the Wildcat last year at TCU. Then they got four defensive players over the weekend, including this Baron Sorrell, defensive lineman out of Texas.
Did you see it?
Now, his
press conference?
You know, only 16 kids that showed up for Thursday night in the first round. And then after that, most of them stay home because, you know, it's expensive to get there for the first place, and they'd rather just spend a long time at home. This kid wanted to cross the stage. He thought he might go Friday night in the second or third round. And when he didn't get picked, he said, well, if we're here, let's just stay. So he was there available, and when his name got called, he was there in the green room. And Goodell got so excited that he had a player, he came up to personally introduce him. And the player selected was from the host city, from the Green Bay Packers. Brian Gutekunst didn't even know he was in town. He just, that was the next player on the board. So then the kid walks across the street from the stage. He walks through Lambeau Field. He does a Lambeau leap, comes and talks to us. There with his family and friends, about eight or nine people in our press conference. This was great. And then when someone said, "Boy, you've got your whole family here," tell us about that.
Just broke down.
He broke down. That's when he lost it. So what a passionate kid the Packers just drafted with the fourth round pick.
I mean, if you didn't get teared up or choked up when he's talking about his mom, they asked about his mom and dad, and he almost like couldn't finish about having them in the first. I mean, think about that. He stayed there just because he wanted to hear his name called and wanted his parents to hear it called, just hoping to get drafted. And he gets drafted by the Packers right where he's sitting. That's pretty magical, isn't it, Mike?
And I think the owners ought to start thinking about that at the next draft. Let's afford so these families can have, we can pay, they can, you know, we can put them up so that they can be here for the weekend.
Jim offered his house kind of the whole time, free of charge.
Exactly. There you go.
They can sleep in the studio like you did, Mike.
So Mike, we'll can we hear the rest of your reports all day?
Yes, sir. We're tracking that Buck story, and then these Packer rookies come in. We'll probably have a Packer rookie mini camp coming up this weekend in Green Bay.
Mike, great work. I'll tell you what, man, you talk about taking that, doing everything you can, taking one for the team. You sure did it this week.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for everything you guys do on your show.
But let me just ask you, Mike, you know, they rate all these teams, ABC. What? How do you think they did? Do you think the Packers, it was a good draft, ABC?
I think it was a typical Packers draft, and they've got some exciting new players
awesome.
To add.
That's great to hear from you.
Mike all Clements, right. Thanks for everything you do for Civic Media and for Mino and the Mayor.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you got it, buddy. Todd, thanks for putting together a great show.
You got it.
Back in tomorrow morning, Mino and the Mayor. See ya.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is criticizing polls of his first 100 days in office. An ABC News Washington Post poll finds his approval rating sits at 39%, a record low. But the White House is touting success in the area of the border. Tom Homan, the White House border czar, said,
"If you arrive at our border without proper documentation, you shall be detained. Not maybe, not think about it, shall." And that's what President Trump's doing. Catch and release is over.
President also announced a two-week deadline for Russia and Ukraine to make a deal for ending their war. That's after his meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky Saturday prior to Pope Francis's funeral. The Vatican set the date for the conclave to choose the next pope. It'll take place on Wednesday, May 7th. Canadians go to the polls today. President Trump's comments have become an issue in the national election to choose a prime minister as mourning continues for the 11 people killed in the vehicle ramming in Vancouver Saturday.